If you can think that way, if you can train yourself and don't try to do it through self, pray for God's help because only He can help you do it. But if you can begin to change your outlook to say, nothing I have, nothing I've done, nothing I ever will do is anything but rubbish because if I do it, it's only because God gave me the ability to do it. Hi, this is Holly and welcome to Study with Friends. I don't know about you, but I struggle in so many different ways with humility, whether it's in my heart when I serve or in my mind when I work. As I study the example of humility that Christ sets for us, I can clearly see that pride creeps into my daily existence all too often. But Christ's example of and His instruction on humility gives me comfort. I know I can do better with God's help. I'm also comforted by the fellowship of my friends. We're really learning a lot from each other, even as we learn from God's word. Let's get started. Now that I understand this identity thing, I feel like it's going to come into every series that we talk about because I truly believe it's the core pathology of the human race is an identity problem.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
So just to sort of summarize what you said, you're saying that you've truly grasped your identity in Jesus based on the grace and the gifts that He has given you, whether you feel you earn them or not or deserve them or not. It's all because God gave you that.
No, I take it a step further and I recognize I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it.
Right. I guess that's what I meant when
yeah.
I said, yeah.
That I thought my whole life I deserve a nice house because I have the ability to make money and this is what you get.
It's really helpful, Holly.
And I thought I earned things.
Mm.
And I thought, oh, well, I'm a good Christian, so I earn the respect of my Christian peers. Or I think I'm a good mom. And so when a mom wants me to mentor her, I'm like, yeah, I deserve that. Well, it's all about myself. If I'm a good mom, it's because God gave me the grace to have the capacity to focus a little bit on my kids. There are moms with three jobs. They're good moms. But maybe they don't have the time to develop the skill set that I got to develop because I didn't have to work. How prideful that would be for me to be like, oh, I am a good mom.
Right.
Well, look at all these gifts you had in your mothering experience. Like, okay, you got to stay home. I'd be a good mom too if I didn't have to work three jobs. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's stripping out. Every time I think I own something that makes me feel like I deserve what I get, whatever I get, then I just have to immediately strip that back out and be like, actually, at the core of that is a gift from God.
Right.
And I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. I didn't accomplish it. One thing that really made this hit home for me was about 7 years ago. I went to the Women of Faith conference. This doesn't even exist anymore, I don't think. But underneath, on every seat, they had a compassion kid. And, you know, like you do, if you've been to these conferences, you know what that's up. So they give you a compassion kid, and then someone comes in, and they're like, you're the only one who has that kid, so if you don't want them, please bring it back to the table, because that's, no one else is going to claim that kid, whatever. And so it was we lived near Philadelphia. It was down in Philadelphia in a huge arena. I don't know, 30,000 people. It was like, woo, rah, rah, women, Christian,
Yeah.
That has its place. I'm not demeaning it, but. And so when the time came, and we all just picked up our compassion kit and put it with the rest of our welcome packet and like set it aside. I didn't even look at it because we already have quite a few compassion kids. I could talk about that. And I was just here again was me going, oh, well, we already do our part for the compassion kids. And I wasn't even going to look. And then when they were talking, God pulled up my heartstrings and I'm going to cry. I opened up this packet. And this child was born on the same day in the same year as Sophia. And it came washing over me that this mother somewhere else on the planet was pregnant at the same time as I was in labor at the same time as I was, and gave birth at the same time I was, and her child is on this trajectory, and my child is on this trajectory, simply by where we were dropped on the planet. I didn't deserve that. Sophia didn't deserve that. It's just what she got out of blessing. It changed everything. I was like, of course I picked up that compassion kit. Okay, add her onto the refrigerator. But more than that, it was such a wake-up call. I mean, out of 30,000 compassion kids in that arena,
yeah,
the one on my seat was like my daughter. Same day, same year. And I looked into her face and I was like, so humbled. That mother, I was humbled thinking of that mother, and I was humbled thinking of that child. Thought to myself, what's Sophia doing at home right now? Something awesome and fun. And what's this kid doing right now? Walking 2 miles for water? You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If you can think that way, if you can train yourself and this is, don't try to do it through self, pray for God's help, because only he can help you do it. But if you can begin to change your outlook to say, nothing I have, nothing I've done, nothing I ever will do is anything but rubbish, because if I do it, it's only because God gave me the ability to do it. Everything is a gift. Then, Carol, the intersection becomes, how could I not help? How could I not put other people before myself? And let me say again, I still screw it up all the time, but I'm learning that if I can sort out my identity, all these things fall behind it. Humility falls behind it. My pride begins to fall away, because what do I have to be prideful of? I didn't really do any of it. It's hard to retrain, because Allie's 1,000% right. The whole world around us teaches us to think a completely different way.
Yeah.
Oh, you did good. Oh, you're a self-made man. Oh, you're this, you're that. And in that identity series, we talked about the ways that we identify ourselves. Women wear survivor t-shirts. And God bless them. I'm glad you survived. But that becomes her identity. I got to tell you, why you survived is because God said so. Right?
Yeah.
Not because anything you did. I'm glad you went to get the cancer treatments. You should. But plenty of people did, and they didn't survive. You see what I'm saying?
Totally.
And so anytime you think you're doing something or accomplishing something or have accomplished, like I unfortunately have leaned, a lot of my identity is propped up on the scaffolding of my accomplishments. And I had this realization, as Paul says, I count it all loss for the sake of Jesus Christ, because the only reason I was able to do any of those things is because God gave me some kind of gift from the start, and then helped me figure out how to use it the right way. Does that help you, Carol, find the intersection between my true identity in Christ?
I'm glad. Absolutely.
And then being able to value other people more highly than myself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
That was really helpful.
I thought of that mother in Guatemala as so much higher than myself. She's so much stronger than I am. She's so much braver than I am.
And when you think, when you get to the end of your life and people say, well, what's your life going to show for it? You know, what did you accomplish with your time on earth? You know, if all you could say was, I was a servant, that's awesome. I mean,
because it doesn't matter what people think of what you accomplished.
Right.
What matters is, did you do the best you could with the gifts that God gave you? Then he will say, well done, good and faithful servant.
Right.
You stewarded what I gave you.
Right.
Well,
I just want to add, you have to guard it.
What do you mean by that?
This was a hard lesson for me to learn. I gave myself completely, and I was taken advantage. I didn't guard it the way I was supposed to guard the gifts that he provided. I didn't steward it right. Mm. You know what I mean? I just gave, because that's what I do. Mm. I gave to the point of being completely depleted. Mm. But I gave to the point that, like, I wasn't even valuing as me being a daughter of a king. I didn't even value myself. I valued others more than I ever valued myself. That I forgot to put my own self-interest, because he valued me so much that I didn't even guard the gift that he gave me. Mm. I didn't even protect it enough to be like, I'll give you, but I need to protect. Mm. I'll give you, but I'm still valued and to be his daughter, that I'll give you all to him, but not to you. Mm. I will value you in that way, but I will have to guard the gift that he gave me.
This, which is yourself. So this is such an interesting mix we have.
What does that mean?
We have such a good mix around this table today, because what Allie's explaining is her, if I have it right, is that her nature is to actually give herself away to a fault. Mm-hmm. So what I admire in her, you know, this is how it always works. She can stumble over. So she will put her, and I've seen that play out in your life. I have seen you go bone dry and not take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. Which I have a little gift for you on the steps, because I know you're even doing that right now. So I put a little gift together for you, because even in a small way, I'm like, well, if I can support Allie, even if I can't always get it right, she gets it right so much. If I can just prop her up a little bit, then I'm doing my part for the kingdom. You know what I mean? So, but anyway, she is a person, and you've seen people like this in your life. There are people like this who have, and I'm not saying this is you, but who have such low self-esteem that they consider everyone better than themselves, and they pour out in service, and then they tank, they flame out, because they've lost their own way. They haven't kept up with their spiritual development. They haven't kept up with self-care. They haven't kept up with mental health, whatever it might be. They're putting themselves so on the bottom of the list as they fall off the list all the time. And I think you're right. You do that to the extreme. Like, that can happen to me too. You said earlier, Romy, about how we put our kids first and then we don't get our highlights in. A surface level example of how, as a mom, but you know what? I haven't been to the gym. We put a gym basically in our basement. I can't even walk down the steps to come to the, because I'm trying to do other things, and I put those things first, and I forget to put myself on the list. So I think that's very identifiable. But what you're saying is, because you have this natural gift and bent towards service, it probably happens to you more often, and when it happens in a more dramatic way. And I have seen that play out in your life. So that's really good that you said that, because the thing that I esteem about you, I have seen it tank you. That's true. True.
And the verse about staying connected to the vine, right? If we don't stay connected to the vine, we wither. So unless you're staying connected with Christ through whatever devotions, you know, scripture, being built up in the church,
fellowship
with others, then you're not bringing in to have it flow out. Yeah. You're just flowing out.
But that's why we don't have the same gifts. That's why. Because even though you consider, even though that gift of mine that you all see, I still value my gift of what the child of I am. I'm God's child. I have to protect this. This is the vessel that he provided for me. I have to protect it. But within my own ability, I will tank myself. So I need others that are stronger and other abilities and other gifts to equal and support each other.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? As I'm guarding my own gifts, others will guard their gifts and also give to others. So when we put our interest of self is important, but we can't always guard ourselves completely, because others will do that for us.
Yes.
God
yes.
will bring others for us.
So, okay, let me say what you're saying. What she's saying is, she knows she needs to guard herself, but she's also counting on her community to take care of her.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about me and you for a minute. You do really great. You and I have different spiritual gifts. Mm-hmm. You serve. One of my gifts is, you know, the love language quality time. And so when Allie comes to my house, that's easy for me. I love her kids. I love her, but it feeds her. And it gives her the ability to go out and do what her gifts require. For me, it's easy to do that for her. It's harder for me to go out and do what she does, but I can do what I do and feed her so she can do what she does.
Which then in turn, I could properly guard myself and use what I need to be used instead of focusing on that.
I'm so glad that you brought that back up, because the body really is responsible.
I think it's important that we don't go into that whole mindset of like loving others more than we love ourselves. But we have to remember who loved us first.
Yes.
We have to remember that who valued us first. And we have to remember that we need to guard that love. You know, it's really important that it's so easy for us that like, oh, you know, we have to put others first. Don't let that Christianity mindset kind of like contort your way of being. You have to remember identity of who and what and who valued you first. Like Romans 5:8, you know, he loved you first before you even loved him. You have to remember that.
Yeah.
And it's important that like, even though we want to be all these other gifts, we have to guard the gift that was given to us because God will provide others to guard us as well as we guard others and protect and do others.
You know, it's also, I'll look up the verse, but I don't know it off the top of my head, but it says, don't you know you're not your own? You were bought at a price.
Yeah.
Therefore, glorify God with your body. And people think of that as the temple and the physicality, but it's true of our mental health, our emotional health too. He bought you at a price. You were valuable to him. So you can't give all of yourself away.
Yeah.
Because you don't belong to yourself. You belong to him. So you have to take care of you and give away what you have been stewarded to gift.
It's important to have the healthy relationship boundaries.
I'm so glad you said
because, like, I just moved into this new place. No lie. 2 days later, I have kids knocking on my door. I'm like, where's your mom? Who are you? Why are you? I'm like, did you eat? And I'm feeding them. But I've learned that I have to protect it. And I've sat down with my kids. I'm like, Izzy, I know this is good. I know you have a big mouth and you're like your mother. But we need to guard our home. I'm going to guard you and we're going to set this strong boundary. Your friends cannot come here every day. These are the rules. These are the structures.
Mm-hmm.
And even with the mother, as now that she doesn't like me, that's perfectly fine. I'm okay with that. But she still lets me take her kids to church.
Mm-hmm.
That is a boundary. I will do this.
Do what you can, but not
but
so much
I won't
that you burn out.
Do it right. That way.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to develop a savior complex like you're there's a lot of service out there that needs to be done. And you have to be connected to Christ to be able to ask, is this for me to mm-hmm, speak to?
Mm-hmm.
And if you'll burn out if you don't ever ask that and you just say, well, it's a need, I got to meet it.
Yes.
You know, you got to be asking, is this for me to feed these kids every day? No, probably not.
Maybe
you know,
not.
But,
maybe.
But maybe, right? Mother Teresa fed a lot of people every day. So, you know, you've got to stay connected to Christ to say, is this where I should be mm-hmm. focusing. And sometimes it's going to be, no, that's not for you. Mm-hmm. You know, there's others.
But the saving complex of like the God already saved the people. It is not my job to save
right.
them.
Right.
Taking that responsibility off. I'm like, mm-hmm. it is not my job to teach you, train you. It is just my job to walk alongside of you.
Right.
And I won't jump in that pit.
Right.
You know, like you have to guard the possession and the possession is you are his child. Like you right. have to guard it.
So I want to be careful and not going off topic, but it's something that's burning in my brain about what we're talking about and the identity and the humility. How do you translate that to how, and I'm thinking of older teenagers, right? Kids say something to them or somebody's, even as adults, people say things to us and they really hurt us.
Mm-hmm.
And they really make us feel really bad about ourselves,
mm-hmm.
that we put a lot of credibility or importance on how others treat us or what they say to us or how they make us feel about ourselves, whether it's performance related at work or, you know, a kid in high school or whatever it is. Help me, and maybe there's somebody else out there thinking the same thing, help me bridge that
mm-hmm.
between identity and feeling how we're supposed to feel about ourselves and
totally
not letting that influence us.
Yeah.
So we can be humble towards them and we can put them before ourselves, knowing that that person probably is in pain or, you know, people who hurt people, you know? So
first of all, I will answer that question. But second of all, you fed right into the next question. So
you're
it's
welcome.
Not off topic at all. So I want you, in answering your question, I want you to read to me Philippians 2:8. And then I'll expand on what you just asked.
Okay. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross.
Okay. What did Jesus deserve?
A throne.
And what did he get?
Death on the cross.
Okay, so if you're a teenager and you're being treated in a way that you feel you don't deserve, there's two pieces of your identity that have to be strengthened. First, the wrong thinking that you're going to walk through this life and get what you do deserve. Even Jesus Christ didn't get that.
Right.
So further than, you know, than dying on the cross, of course he didn't deserve that. But he had to do that for our salvation. But let's even just look at his life. Luke 9:58 says, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Which means he didn't have what he deserved even in his earthly life. Even in his earthly life, he deserved a throne to be served, and he didn't have any place even to lay his head, right? So we can say, oh, Jesus didn't ever get what he deserved in this life. He didn't get the accolades. He rode in on a donkey to the last week of his life, on a donkey. And people talk about, oh, people were happy and were excited, and the palms fronds, but he didn't ride in on a chariot. He rode in on a donkey. And I could do a whole series on that because the people weren't giving him what he deserved. The people were welcoming him in because they thought they were going to get what they deserved by him being in his rightful place.
Mm-hmm.
So I could talk about that for a long time. But I'm not saying everybody who's in that crowd had a wrong heart, but right. I'm all about worshiping God in the right way on Palm Sunday. But I think you could unpack that and understand that even in that moment, he wasn't necessarily getting what he deserved. And so we could, as Christian parents raising Christian children, help them examine, why do you think you deserve to be treated any better? I mean, Jesus was spat at. He was ridiculed. He was beaten. He didn't ever get what he deserved. So who are we to think we should get what we think we deserve? So that's one thing that you could unpack with a child who's being treated poorly. But more than that, remember I said a few minutes ago, I think really, I mean, I hate to be so pious as to say every problem with humanity is this, but it's an identity problem, because what you said, and I wrote it down, is makes me feel bad about myself, and that I put credibility in their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That's an identity problem, right? So if I'm putting stock in what Carol says about me and it means more to me than what God says about me, then I have heart work to do. I know these are things that sound very pie in the sky, but done the right way, this identity, this new identity, and listen, practically speaking, here's how I do it with my kids. Of course, all teenagers experience people who outwardly offend them. I just had a conversation with my girls in the car Thursday night coming home about people who annoy us. It wasn't anybody at church, but it was somebody at school. And teenagers are so focused on the self. The practical way that I do that is I say, I'm so sorry that you experienced that. And I'm so sorry that you had that pain. And I want you to be able to talk to me and know that you're loved here, that you're safe here. But then when the time is right, and not in a holier than thou way, I just unpack with them what you just said to help them see how hurt people. If I'm helping them understand what may have driven that, it can help them have grace. And when I have grace, I'm not hurt, because I see, oh, you're broken like I'm broken too. Hi, it's Holly again. What a merciful example Christ sets for us through his humble heart. I'm so thankful for the ways his word helps me know him and to know myself better. I hope you felt that gift during your time with us today. We're a weekly Bible study, just like you find at your local church. If you're not involved in a study like this, please find one. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week in every situation. In Matthew 10, Jesus was sending out his disciples to preach the word. He instructed them with this command, "Freely you have received, freely give." We think that applies to us too. So we've created many resources for you on our website, studywithfriends.org. If you miss any part of this program or you want to hear it again, you can visit us there, or you can look for other Bible studies, all of which are free to use and print. studywithfriends.org. Just like those disciples who relied on the generosity of a host for food and shelter, we're also 100% donor supported. So if you're particularly blessed by one of the resources we work hard to provide, please consider a donation of any amount. A monthly partnership is especially helpful, and no amount is too small. We send quarterly gifts to our monthly partners to say thank you. Resources like a pocket Bible, or maybe a book about prayer, or a daily devotional. You can donate one time or become a monthly partner at studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. We also love to hear from you via email at info@studywithfriends.org. That's always a huge encouragement to us, so please don't hesitate to write if you have the inclination. See you next time we study with friends.